Pray, Lord, that you would reveal your truth to us in your word, transforming us by the renewing of our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good morning, everybody. A couple questions before we start here. And these are the type where you don't have to answer back. You know what those are called? Rhetorical. Thank you, Mike. So this is a rhetorical question. Number one. Amen. Amen. He knows. He knows. He knows what's up. All right, number one. Here we go. You guys ready? If you're a Christian, do you know that you have a spiritual gift? That's number one. Number two, do you know what it is? You got that? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Number three, are you using your spiritual gift? Interesting, huh? You know what? Let me just say, that may give you a little hint about what we're going to talk about today. But let me just say this. This church won't work if we are not using our spiritual gifts. This church won't work if we're not relying upon the Holy Spirit to do what we can't do as human beings. Did you know that this church is kind of set up that way? Set up in a way that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. And so it requires a working of God in and through people to bring about results that only God can bring. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, speaks on this very thing, because the early church, which arguably, well, not even arguably, which was the most effective church and gave us a church model, that church which turned the world upside down, the church in which people would look at that church and those individuals in the church and say, wow, they have been with Jesus. One of those founding fathers said this, 1 Peter 4, verse 7. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then this is what we're going to look at this morning. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if we're not using our spiritual gifts, then we have to ask ourselves, well, what's really happening then? And it is possible to be doing church type of things and yet it really not be God doing those things in us and through us, which in the end, this is what the Bible talks about, is a work that'll be tested through the fire and won't pass the test. Meaning that there are things that we can do in regards to who we are as Christians that don't translate as a work of God, even though there may be activity. And it's so important, especially in our day and age where we have a lot of means, a lot of ways that we can do things which could supplant or take the place of the work of the Holy Spirit without us even knowing it. See, we could be really clever about things and figure out clever ways, which the world uses those exact ways to build businesses, to build organizations, to build things. And we can use those things and say, wow, look what God's doing. We have to ask ourselves, is God really doing that? What I would like to look at this morning is what Peter is saying and what he is calling the believers out in his day to recognize and understand the power of the Holy Spirit in the form of a gift. So this is really challenging for me because I'm going to try to explain the gifts that are listed in the scripture and do that in 45 minutes or less or more, right around there. And there are 19 of them listed. So in your bulletin, I listed them in alphabetical order, at least so you can have a gauge as to what they are. So you really, today you really wanted the bulletin, didn't you? Just to help you, okay? And I'm going to do the best I can to explain them. But please understand that this is, to try to do this in the amount of time that we have is it's not an in-depth study on the gifts. And per that understanding, if you would like my notes, email the church and I will gladly send you my notes. And then also, I would like to recommend a book that is the best book that I've ever read regarding the Holy Spirit and the gifts. And it's called Living Waters by Chuck Smith. And it's actually online for free too, if you just search around for it. So that'll help us. But I'm going to take a stab at this, and we'll kind of see how it all works out. And I hope that as a group, does anybody want a bulletin with them listed? If you do, raise your hand. We'll have an usher get you one. Okay. So if we can have an usher. Usher. Yeah. Hey, would you mind? Yeah. They're going to raise their hand. That's it? Okay, we have one. You can fight over it. Walmart, Black Friday. There it is. All right, so somebody's going to get it. So who's the lucky one? Okay, there you go. So now, the reason I'm doing this is because obviously we're going through the book of 1 Peter, and obviously this is where we ended. But you know, last week we covered this very briefly, and I just thought it's really important that we understand this. I want to look at those things. Remember those three questions. Do you know you have a spiritual gift? Do you know what it is, and are you using it? So as Peter encourages them to use that gift, we're going to look at what these gifts are first, if you're taking notes. Spiritual gifts, what are they? The scriptures that are the most often used and pointed out scriptures in regards to spiritual gifts are 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 7, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. You guys got all that? I like how Mike just has Sandy take all the notes for him. That's how I was too in pretty much my whole life. Just find somebody to take notes. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. And like I said, if you don't get all this, it's okay. If you want my notes, you can just email the church. So, the word spiritual gift that we find that Peter uses and that we find in these other verses that I just mentioned, it's the word, it's called charisma in the Greek. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. That word literally means that it is a gift of grace. And it's important to understand that. You'll see why as we go along here. It's a gift of grace. What that means is if you're a Christian, as part of you entering into the family of God, as part of you being born again, as part of you being a new creation in Christ, you have been given a gift, a specific gift for you, for a specific reason, to build up the kingdom of God. One Bible dictionary definition, it says it like this. This was my favorite. It says, spiritual gifts are divine enablements for ministry given by the Holy Spirit in some measure to all believers and are to be completely under His control and to be used for the building of the body of Christ, all to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. You guys, did you take notes on that one? We need a court reporter for that one, right? Sandy's got it. So here's basically what it is. This to me is mind-blowing. I'm give you three M's to help you think about what spiritual gifts are. The first is they're manifestations of grace. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So our spiritual gift, it's a manifestation of grace. What's a manifestation? A manifestation is an outworking. It's an outworking. For example, say you're thinking something right now. Nobody knows it, but as you speak it, it's manifested, right? So a manifestation of grace. A spiritual gift, then, is an outworking of grace. And it's an outworking of grace in a special package that's unique to the individual that has it. These manifestations can be looked at sort of like a gift mixture. So you look at the gifts, and these gifts are sort of a mixture, like kind of like if you go to Home Depot and you want to match paint, and they put all these special things in, and they shake it around, and it comes out like that. These gifts, it's grace that's mixed and specialized for the individual that has it. These gifts of grace, then, are to be thought of like this. Think about the ultimate display of grace. What comes to mind? Yes, Jesus on the cross. Whoever said that, you get an A today. So that's the fullness, 100% of all of the grace of God. Seeing Jesus on the cross. If you ever want to know and study grace, we need to look no further than Jesus on the cross. As we become believers, imagine taking some of that 100% grace and then putting it into an individual. That's our gift. Not one individual has 100% the gifts of grace that Christ had. Christ had all of them 100%. And now, as individuals, we are given these manifestations of His grace. So grace just means unmerited favor. It's a gift that we don't earn, deserve, or merit. So as a believer, it's like, wow, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. But we also get this incredible supernatural gift that God gives us, and it's a portion of the fullness of Christ's 100% grace that we see on the cross. So now with that, in 1 Corinthians 12:7, these gifts then, when they're exercised, they're a manifestation of part of the working of Jesus' work on the cross, his grace that was demonstrated on the cross. Now as we use our gift, we're manifesting God's grace that he has given to us in a supernatural way. So remember three M's, right? Manifestation. The second thing is measure. Measures of grace. In Ephesians 4:7, it says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." So that means that each person, each individual, they have a measure or a portion or an amount of God's grace. So that's, some people have more, some people have less. It has nothing to do with the individual merits of that person, that person is so awesome. So I'm going to give them 60%, and that other person is not so awesome, so they get 20%. How they're distributed, we don't really know and understand. You know what's very freeing about that? I don't have to be, if I'm a 50% guy, I don't have to be a 75% guy. All I have to worry about is the grace that I've been given to do what God has called me to do. And therein, my operation within my gift is where I find my maximum joy, my maximum experience of God, his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Why? Because it's like a river, and I'm a channel, and the river is running through me. And the experience, like living waters, or like Jesus said, out of you will flow living waters. So now we're experiencing the working of God in our life personally in an incredible way. And then the third M is its manifolds of grace. I'll explain that in a second. 1 Peter chapter 4, in our text, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." What does that mean? That word manifold, it means multi-dimensional, multifaceted, multicolored. It's like looking into a spectrum and just seeing blasts of color and arrays of different shades of things. He paints a picture of grace like that. It's this multifaceted, incredible, multidimensional goodness of God that he distributes, that then when a bunch of people like us come together using our gifts, we together then are seeing more of the fullness of the grace of God. That's why the body of Christ is so important. Because within the body of Christ is where those gifts are exercised and stirred up primarily. And it's to the benefit of all. So we all are enjoying the fullness of God through one another. So you see why it's so important to use and stir up your gift now. So when I walk in the door and I talk to somebody out there and they have a gift of encouragement and they're like, "Hey, John, God bless you. I'm so excited to hear what you have to say today. And you're such a blessing." And I'm like, "Whoa, I'm feeling the warm fuzzies right now. I think I could walk through a wall right now." And then I walk in and then I spill my coffee. And then somebody with the gift of helps come in. "Oh, let me clean up your stain on your shirt. I'm so sorry. are you okay? And somebody with the gift of healings lays hands on me. And now the body's working together, right? But that's how, so it's this manifold grace of God. And so do you see how Christianity is not a sort of thing where you, it's like going to the movies? Like you don't come in and sit and maybe there's some popcorn and you're like, man, they better dazzle me today. They better bring it. That worship group, they better get me jumping. Or I'm not going to call this my church home. And that pastor, he better weave in a lot of anecdotes and stories and current events and statistics and jokes. And he better have me laughing on the way out. I better feel good on the way out. Did you know Christianity's like not like that? And if you have that idea and that mentality, you're coming well short of what God has for you. Because did you know this building is not a church? I am not the church. Mikey's not the church. Kreider and Paul are not the church. Miguel's not the church. You're all, thank God, you guys are not the church. We're all the church. We're all the church. We have to get rid of that mentality that the church is the members of Christ in all their different functions. And as members of Christ, then we come together to fill out the fullness of Christ, especially by using our gifts. So these gifts, and what are they specifically? Number one, and again, these are the lists. This is a specific list given in those scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. And I'm just going to, as briefly as I can, go through these. What I would like you to do is to be thinking about these in light of yourself and be thinking, oh, that sounds like me. Oh, I'm kind of like that. I like that. And you might want to just put a little jot down or underline or highlight to that and pray about that, because that might be your gift. If something sort of resonates, there'll be things on here you go, that's definitely not me. And then there'll be things that'll be like, that's definitely me. And then you might want to talk to somebody about it, your husband or wife or kids, and say, you know, when we were going through that list, I kind of felt like that's kind of me, and ask them if it's you. So remember, as we go through, these are not natural talents. These are spiritual gifts. There's a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. Number one, administration. The gift of administration is a very specific supernatural gift. And it is possible to be really good administratively in the things of the world and be terrible at it in the spiritual kingdom because it's not your spiritual gift. This spiritual gift, the Greek word here is the word that we use for a shipmaster, a helmsman, a captain. And basically the person with this gift is one who guides and directs a group of people toward a goal or a destination. They do that through organization, direction, and implementation of the plans and the vision of what we're going to see next of an apostle. So this is the person that has a supernatural gift to take what, I'll just tell you what apostle is. An apostle is one who is sort of a visionary. This is not, don't make the mistake that this is like an apostle that we see in the Bible, that you had the 12 disciples, and then you had Paul added. This is not the office of an apostle, which there is not one anymore. The office of the apostle in the Bible had to be one who personally witnessed Jesus after the resurrection and personally was ordained by Jesus. And these were ones who wrote scripture. And these were ones who went and did miracles. There's no office of an apostle now. Don't come up to me after and say, I'm an apostle, and I'm going to write some more scripture, and God's, okay, you're outing yourself if you do that. An apostle is one that God calls to go out and start new works like church planting, missionaries, people that start new organizations for the kingdom of God, people like that. These are people that they get visions. God uses them to begin to have a burden and a heart for a people, a place, a thing, and they can't deny that burden, and then they begin to pray about it. So this is the apostle thing. As they begin to pray about it, they get excited about it, and their excitement excites other people. And other people are like, hey, can I do this and can I do that? And then they start to find out, hey, maybe I have the gift of administration. That apostle guy, boy, he's really unorganized. And he has all these visions and all that, but he can't get anything done. And then the administrator guy or girl, they come and say, hey, let me help you with church insurance. Let me help you set up this bank account. Let me help you with your church charter. The apostle may have that. It is possible, but it's okay if he doesn't. We can't think that necessarily the apostle, the visionary, the planner, the missionary, that they're good at all those things. And that's why God doesn't place the whole burden on one individual. He places it and spreads it out because we all need each other. So if you have an apostle without the gift of administration and nobody steps up to administrate, then it just stays there. But see, then God brings people around. And sometimes those people, they say, I want to help. I want to do anything. And then they find out, well, I'm not really good at this. I'm not really good at this. But they find out, oh, I'm good at this. And I'm good at that. So that's administration, apostleship. The third thing is discernment. So we have the gift of discernment. It may be said, or you may have heard it called discerning of spirits or distinguishing between spirits. And basically, this is somebody that just has a keen supernatural ability to kind of sense something that doesn't seem right or is weird or is dark, or maybe they can get a check in their heart about something. So you have an apostle, and he's like, I have a vision. I'm going to start a church and plant a church. And God has given me a love and a burden for these people and this place. And the administrator comes and says, I'll take care of all the details and I'll work all that out. And then the discerning spirit guy comes, and guy or girl, and they come and they say, you know, I really want to pray about this. I sense in this area just there's a heavy bondage of the people there. And there's just a kind of a thing there where people are stuck in these certain sins or this religiosity, or they're stuck in these certain patterns. And this person of discernment, you might be thinking to yourself right now, that just sounds kind of weird or kind of woo. And it could be that we have gotten so used to doing things without the Holy Spirit that we think spiritual things are weird. And I'm not here going to tell you that things don't get weird. People do get weird. But the person with the gift of the discerning of the spirits, what they do with that is they pray. They take these things to prayer. They don't go around and start, you know, causing all these problems and divisions and say, hey, that person that came in today, they're the spawn of Satan. Send out an email and tell everybody to stay away from them. That person, they just may get a sense, and they take it to prayer. And they begin to pray for the church. They pray for the area. They pray for the people. And this gift is essential for the body of Christ. The fourth one is evangelism. The gift of evangelism is a supernatural gift that goes above and beyond all of our call to be evangelists, right? All of us are called as Christians to share the gospel of Christ. All of us are called to do that. But there's certain people. Have you met them? Certain people. There's something about them where they're very burdened for the lost in an unusual way. Like they're burdened for the lost. Like you may say, well, I don't want anybody to go to hell. But no, they don't sleep because they're burdened for the lost. They cry because they're burdened for the lost. And they hurt and they ache and they can't just sit there. They don't miss opportunities. These people are bold. And you know, like most people without this gift, they're like, you go through this thing, oh, I don't know, I don't want to talk to them, I'm embarrassed, and what if they think I'm weird? Those are all normal things if you don't have the gift of evangelism. I encourage you to push through those things and trust in the Holy Spirit. But the gift of evangelism, these people are able to have a boldness that's unusual, an ability to communicate to all different types of people, young, old, different nationalities, races, it doesn't matter. I think of Pastor Brian from Haiti like that. That guy's insane. I've never met anybody like that. Wherever you go, I promise you, if you spend a day with him, whoever you talk to is going to hear the gospel. And when you're with him, you're kind of like, wow, is he really going to talk to that person? And you're kind of, and he does it. And it's just so he has a special gift. And let me just encourage you, if you have that gift, we need that gift here. If you have it, pray about it, and let's start using it. And let's start stirring that up, because the days are short and the time is short, and we need people that will share the gospel in a powerful, dynamic way, because that's how the church is built. Did you know that? A lot of times we think about building the church about just getting people to transfer to our church from another church, already saved people, because we have more stuff and better stuff, so we hope we can entice them to come to our church instead of their church. The early church was built on people converting to Christ and then coming to church to be built up, grounded in the faith. We need evangelists. So number five, we're working our way. The gift of exhortation. And that means, you may have heard it, the gift of encouragement. Such an important gift in the body of Christ. You may be thinking that you got sick to your stomach when we talked about evangelism. And then you hear about encouragement and you're like, oh yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to just go and encourage people. This is so important, because those evangelists, those apostles, those pastor teachers, most of the time they're feeling like giving up. You may not know that. Most of the time they're walking this line of giving up or not giving up. And it's the people with the gift of encouragement that keep them going. What are they doing? Are they just flattering them? No. They're encouraging them in the Word. They're encouraging them with the Word, how God is using the Word in and through their life. And I can't tell you enough how thankful I am for the people with the gift of encouragement in our church. A lot of times you have no idea something you said to me and where I was at that particular place in my life, and what you said made all the difference to me. And I know, just talking to other people in the church, you have been those people for other people in the church as well. The gift of encouragement. The next one, the gift of faith. And you might be able to see through these that you might have multiple gifts, and that you probably do. You probably do. The gift of faith is someone who reads the Bible and they say, I want to do that. They read through the book of Acts and say, if they could do it, why not me? These are the people like Peter, who saw Jesus on the water. He said, why not me? If Jesus can do it, why not me? These are the people that launch out in certain acts that seem to defy normal things, because they have a resolute faith in God that they're able to just read the Bible and say, I want to do that. They're able to just take God for his word and what he says and just be able to do that. These are people that usually launch out. A lot of apostles have the gift of faith because God puts something on their heart, or they see something in the Bible and they say, well, I'm going to go for it. These are people who are not necessarily afraid to fail. They don't worry about that. They just worry about getting out there. Peter didn't think about sinking when he walked on water. He just wanted to get out there. So Peter was a guy like that at times. Sometimes he wasn't too. But the gift of faith are just these people, they're just, let's go for it. I see it, let's go for it. The seventh gift mentioned is the gift of giving. The gift of giving usually involves someone who also has the gift of getting. Meaning, a lot of these people are very well versed in the business world, entrepreneurship, in the ability to make money. These people that God has gifted like this usually are gifted in such a way where they are very wise with their own money, meaning they live in such a way where they don't extravagantly spend their money on themselves, but instead they rather live lower on the hog so they can help other people like missionaries and ministries and things like that, and they love giving. These people make it a big point that they don't get recognition for their giving. Person with the gift of giving finds that in the act of giving, they're so excited. They feel so blessed because they know it's more blessed to give than receive. So we're going to take an offering now, if I can get the ushers to come forward. Just kidding. Just kidding. So let me just say this really quick about this gift. Obviously, it's very important. It's a spiritual gift. This is a hard gift to have. The reason why it's so hard is if you have a lot of money, you can just throw money at every situation. You can just justify or rationalize giving money to everybody who needs it and has a problem. The person with the gift of giving has to have an incredible gift of wisdom, because God doesn't always want to pour money on a situation. I think about all the times where I was struggling financially, and I think, well, what did God do through all those things and teach me through all those things, that if somebody would have just kept bailing me out constantly, I wouldn't have learned what God was trying to teach me in those things. So the gift of giving. The eighth thing is the gift of healing. First thing that usually comes up is, well, can somebody really be healed? But let me just say this. I believe all the gifts are in operation today. And the gift of healing is in operation. I believe people can be healed. But here's the thing with the gift of healing. The gift of healing, it's not like the person that has the gift of healing, whenever they want, they can use it to heal somebody. The disciples were able to heal people sometimes. Sometimes they weren't. Paul himself was able to heal people. They were even raising people from the dead and, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. Paul couldn't even be healed of his own ailment. He prayed 3 times that whatever it was, the thorn in his side would be removed, and it wasn't. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. But I do believe that God will anoint certain people for certain times to literally, actually heal people. Why does God do that? Just so the person's not sick anymore? He does it for his glory. He does it to be glorified. He does it for a specific reason, that maybe in that situation, if that person was healed, that's what they needed to see God. A lot of times we see this more so in the missionary field, where they don't have Bibles and they don't understand the concept of Jesus Christ at all, and missionaries come in there and they're sick people and they heal them radically, and the people want to know, who is this God you serve? It never glorifies the healer. God's the ultimate healer. If it does, there's something wrong. And it never draws attention to anything but the glory of God. So that's the gift of healing. Number 9 interpretation of tongues. This is in alphabetical order, so I'll also we'll talk about tongues as well. For some reason, this seems to be the most controversial one we talk about all the time. Why, I really honestly don't know. I'm sure you have your, if you don't believe in the gift of tongues, then you probably have an idea. I would just encourage you to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. And do it with a childlike faith, taking off the table any of your preconceived ideas. And just say, well, what does this actually say about it? The gift of tongues, what is it? The gift of tongues is when someone who has the gift of tongues is able to speak in a language that's not their own. It could take the form of two different things. One, a spiritual language that's not a dialect of the earth, which it's a direct spiritual language, a heavenly language, or it's an actual earthly language that that person does not know. What is this gift used for? Primarily, the gift of tongues is a gift for personal edification. What do you mean by that? It's for my own encouragement, growth, maturity, and understanding. That's why we usually don't necessarily see this gift used in group settings as much. The Bible is really clear about how the gift of tongues is to be used. The gift of tongues is to be used, if it is in a corporate setting, it's to be used with in a place where there's just believers. It's to be used in such a way where it has to be interpreted. So somebody with the gift of interpretation. And it can be done no more than three times in that service. And so that would be sort of, it's just very clear in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And so that would be something like maybe on a Wednesday night when we have communion, we open that up for people to do that. If you have the gift of tongues, we haven't had very many people use that gift for whatever reason, and that's fine. And again, it's primarily for personal use. What you do when you speak in tongues is you're taking out the mental part. You know, when you pray, you kind of think about things and, you know, your mind's engaged. It takes that out. So the spirit in you is directly praying to God. And I have the gift of tongues, and I'm pretty sure it's a human language. It sounds like I've heard people talk like that before, and I'm like, wow, that sounds like what it sounds like when I talk or speak in tongues. And I primarily use it just in my personal prayer life. And so this gift, I just encourage you to just look at the Bible and see what it says about that. But the interpretation of the tongues, and I've seen this happen in a public or corporate worship session. Somebody speaks in tongue, and then somebody else knows what they're saying and is able to say to the congregation what they're saying. And get this, whatever they're saying, the interpretation, it's directed towards God. If the interpretation is directed to the body of Christ, like they're saying, oh, that person said that this church needs to do this and that, that's not interpretation. Interpretation is praise be to God, glory be to God. It's always directed towards God. So obviously a lot to say to that, but if you do have the gift of tongues or the interpretation of tongues, Wednesday night when we do communion, that's your time to shine. So the next one, 10, is the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. This means that you may have heard of it as a word of knowledge. Like I get a word of knowledge. This is divine impartation of information, knowing something that you could not have known before. This is like someone who's, there's a puzzle and there's that one missing piece. Nothing quite makes sense of the puzzle until that word of knowledge comes, information, something supernaturally, like, and it fits that piece of the puzzle, and it's like, ah. Word of knowledge is used in such a way where within the church body, someone who's seeking the Lord just kind of speaks something specific to a situation, circumstance. And of course, this always has to be checked by Scripture, and it has to be confirmed in the heart of the person who may be receiving this word of knowledge. Like someone may be praying, and God says something to their heart about another person and says, hey, that brother or sister, God is going to do a work through their life. Go share that with them. And a lot of times that person on the other end, they've been praying about something stirred in their heart. The person with the word of knowledge comes in, puts that piece of puzzle in and says, hey, God showed me this and that. And you're like, whoa, how'd you know that? It's a word of knowledge. Sometimes that's used with the gift of preaching and teaching, in that I may say something that I didn't really know about you or think about you, or if it's something I said and you're like, whoa, he has like a spy cam in my room. How did he know that? And I guarantee you I don't spy on you guys. But that's just the Holy Spirit. So that's a word of knowledge. The next one, hang in there, guys. I think we can actually do this. Next one is leadership. Leadership. The gift of leadership is similar to the gift of administration, except for where the gift of administration focuses on the detailed organization and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Leadership is more people-oriented. So it's the apostle gets a vision. He may have the gift of leadership also. He gets that vision, and now he's able to get people on board with that, to kind of rally the troops and encourage people in that direction with the vision that they have on their heart. That's the gift of leadership. Are you guys seeing some of these things? You might be saying, hey, that sounds like me. That's definitely not like me. Hopefully you are. The next one is the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy are these people that when you share something with them, you feel like they're hurting as bad as you are. And you feel like it's genuine. And these are the people, they're literally like the hands and feet of God. Like, these are the people, the gift of mercy. They will walk you and I through those valleys of the shadow of death. These are people that they can't just be okay saying, God bless you, brother, I'm sorry you're going through that, and be on with their merry way and go to Brahms after. These are people that they literally hurt and ache, and they'll take you to Brahms if you want to go. And they'll buy you an ice cream or a bag of burgers. And they'll maybe go home with you if you want them to. And they'll sit next to you. And they'll put their hand on you. And they'll put your arm around. And you feel like you're not alone anymore. These are the people that are able to walk through with people. They stay through the entire process. This is an amazing gift. The next one is the gift of miracles. Number 13. The gift of miracles is just some time. This is not like any time I want to do a miracle, I just do it. This is selective for certain situations and circumstances. And it's a working of God, a powerful working of God outside of normal physical laws of this world. I'll give you an example. One time, we were in Mexico in an outreach down there, and we invited the village to have lunch. We ran out of food. And I remember we found a jar of peanut butter and a jar of jelly. And I looked at this line, and it was so far I couldn't even see. And we had some bread. And I kid you not, it was like feeding the 5,000. When I was scooping the peanut butter and putting it on the bread, it wouldn't disappear in the jar. It stayed there. And I can verify that through Paul and Kim. They were there. And I don't know, I don't even want to make up numbers or anything because I don't know exactly. But I promise you, we did not have enough peanut butter and jelly to feed everybody. And God provided that. It was like feeding of the 5,000. It was amazing. The next one is Pastor Shepherd, 14. This is a gift of someone who has this a calling to care for the body of Christ. The primary thing about this person is that they should have a humble servant attitude. These people are not superstars, not to be glamorized, and not to be looked at in a way that there's something bigger, better, or more special about them. These are people who God has called to care for the body of Christ. So they have a heart for the body of Christ. Within that gift, in the book of Ephesians, is interchangeably the gift of teaching. Why is that? Teaching is the primary instrument of the person with the gift of pastoring, that the way that they warn, build up, encourage, edify, and direct the body of Christ. So the book of Ephesians says that God has given to the church pastor teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So pastors, shepherds, are people who are to help the body of Christ with their joy. The Bible says, how do they do that? By helping them in their walk. Shepherds are people who are constantly restless, losing sleep, concerned about the people in their flock. It bothers them when people are not walking in the love of Christ. They often are unsettled. They often are uncomfortable and disturbed and need to constantly be in prayer because they have a great sense of personal connection with the whole body of Christ. Two more. Prophecy. Prophecy, the word literally means speaking forth the truth. It just means speaking forth. So prophecy is used now in our day. There's not someone who's a prophet that they set up and say, he's a prophet, so we follow him and whatever he says goes. The gift of prophecy works within the framework of the Word of God, and they're actually speaking forth the Word of God to people in very specific situations. So the prophecy gift works a lot with the teaching gift, the word of knowledge gift, and the word of wisdom gift. So prophecy is speaking forth truth into people. And sometimes we are given prophecy about specific future things pertaining to the individual. So a couple of things, just to share with you something that happened to me once is when God was stirring my heart to plant a church, I was assistant pastor, and this young lady who happened to be in my college group, one morning when I was in my office at church, she was driving to her work, which is past our church, and she stopped in, and she came in and said, hey, I got to tell you something. And I said, what? And she goes, well, I've been driving the last 3 or 4 days past here, and I know God's been telling me to tell you something, but I haven't told you because I was nervous and felt like you'd think I'm weird, so I didn't. So here it is. God wants you to know that he's doing a new thing in your life, and don't be afraid, and just follow his steps every step of the way, and everything will be okay. She had no idea what happened right before she came into my office, where my pastor came to me and said, hey, I really feel like God may be leading you to start a church. He tells me that. She comes in right after that, has no idea what's going on, and speaks that into my life. So I held on to things like that. I could tell you stories like that forever. But that's the gift of prophecy. The last one. Do we need to jump up and shake? And the last one is the serving ministry. And this word literally means, there's two words we get for this. One is waiting tables, and one is helping. So you may say, oh, that evangelism stuff, ooh, that's scary. That shepherding, teaching stuff. That's scary. You know, I just like to help. You may be a person that says, I like to be behind the scenes. I like to do stuff, and I don't like people really to notice too much. And I don't, this is the person that just fills in the gap, and they're willing to do, and they love just to help. We have a lot of people like that in our church. They just love to help. They don't care what it is, and they don't get a bad attitude about doing it. And they just thrive in that. We have countless of people like that in our church. Oh, there's a couple more. The gift of teaching I talked about, and the gift of tongues, I talked about that. Okay, so you made it through that. So here, what do you do now? What do we do now? What gift is actually mine? I'm just going to finish on this, okay? How do I know which one's mine? He said, it's so important that we know what our gift is and we exercise it. So how do I know? Number one, I'm going to give you 25. No, I'm just kidding. Number one, and I apologize. I know we're going a little longer. This is a different, unique kind of thing. But number one, you have to see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the necessity of being about getting involved. You will have a hard time discovering your gift if you're not involved. So you have to make it part of your life to involve yourself in church stuff. Why do you say, well, you're just trying to get me to join your church? Well, first of all, we don't have a membership. You just come if you want. If you want to call this your church, you call it your church. So we're not trying to get you to join the church. The gifts are primarily to be used within the body of Christ. They build up the body of Christ. That's why. So number one, you have to engage the church. Get involved. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, just do something. Talk to Robert. He's the ministry coordinator. And just do something. So that's number one. Number two, you have to be kingdom-minded. So in order for you to know what your gift is, you have to be a person who wants and desires the kingdom of God to be built up. Like, that has to be important to you. The third thing is then to surrender to the Spirit. It's just to say, Holy Spirit, here I am, send me. Here I am, work in my life, and I'll just be a willing servant of yours. Number four, as you involve, as you engage, as you serve, what do you like to do? Your gift is going to be something you love to do. Did you know nobody has to twist my arm to sit down for hours upon hours and study the Word of God? People have to twist my arm to stop doing that. It's not a burden for me. I love it. Ask me to do some other things, like administrate, and you might as well be pulling out my teeth. So, people do that. So, what do you love to do? The next thing is what energizes you in the ministry. Like, what's just energized? Where do you just feel passionate about and excited about? The next one is then, what opportunities do you actually have that are right in front of you? You may say, well, I'm just waiting for something to happen, and I don't really have the gift of help, so can you pick up that piece of paper? I think you have that gift, so you pick that up. We all have the gift of serving. We all have that gift, if you want to call it that. Our specific gift is just specifically how that gift of serving looks. So, what opportunities are right in front of you? And just do that. The next thing is to always be focused on Jesus and not self-seeking. Don't say, I have the gift of pastoring and teaching, so I'm going to teach from this Sunday on. So can you leave and not do this anymore? Don't have an agenda. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you. Start serving. Start working. And your gift will get you to where you need to be. And then the last thing, whatever open door you have, as you're praying and desiring to build the kingdom of God, whatever open door there is. Just take a step of faith and go through it. It may not be the final door, but what I'm saying is, in my experience, God usually works from the general to the specific in regards to gifts. So as we begin to serve, as we begin to have a passion and a love for the body of Christ, generally, then the specific things will start to take shape. And so in conclusion, we need you. The body of Christ needs you. The world needs you. And Calvary Chapel Lake Cities needs you. Because without God working through you, there's no other mechanism in which this church will be built, sustained, and flourished. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through individuals to manifest the glory and the power of God in practical, tangible ways. We made it. So let's take that to the Lord. And again, thank you for your patience. That was a lot, and I realized that. I just didn't know how to do that. So, gift of encouragement. Did you hear that? He said we enjoy. Yes, we know what you have. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful, blessed morning that we get to be together as the body of Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would use our fellowship to pour out your Spirit, that we would be humble, obedient servants to bring about your glory in our neighborhoods, in our town, in our families, in our state, that you would use us. And we just present ourselves to you, Lord, as holy living sacrifices. Here we are, Lord. Send us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you guys.
If the last song we sang wasn't my favorite song, this one would be. back and sing the first verse one more time. Bless you all. Let's keep the Christ in Christmas. Amen. Amen. Amen.